Hey, hello, beautiful people.
Indeed, that is one of my biggest pleasure is always when I went to my own
farm. I think it is important to first understand what a healthy relationship with food is for us to know what it is not.
Not try.
I can relate. I can relate.
Selfish.
So no. You could be your own farmer pretty soon. Who knows?
Trust me when I tell you, there will always be challenges. There will always be risks.
Seems like we have a lot in common.
Welcome to the Let's Talk Agriculture podcast show.
And of course, it's your favorite girl, Sharonita Rosa.
Hey guys, welcome to another episode of our sustainability series. It's really been an exciting and insightful time for me. I mean, I've been discussing with industry experts with a sustainability focus globally. Now, if this is your first time joining or listening, we've had about 2 episodes already, and you may want to go back and listen. All of our episodes are available on letstalkagriculture.com. Now, this episode is exclusively sponsored by Foodchain ID. So for more information, please do well to visit thechainid.com. My name is Sharon Idahosa, and I am your host. Once again, welcome to the Let's Talk Agriculture podcast show. Today, I will be discussing with 2 amazing personalities who will be sharing their perspective and the work that they do on the topic of regenerative agriculture. So friends, families, join me welcome Charles of Vehicle Group and Dr. Rudolph of Foodchain ID. Hello, gentlemen. Thank you so much for joining the show today. How are you doing?
Doing very, very fine. Thank you very much. And pleased to talk to you.
Charles?
I'm doing great, Sharon.
Great.
I'm doing great, Sharon. Thank you. It's
Thank
nice to be here.
Thank you so much. So I'm really excited about what we are going to learn today. And for us to get this ball rolling, I'm just going to need to get your perspective on regenerative agriculture. What does it mean? What is the idea behind regenerative agriculture? Charles, maybe you can go first, and then Rudolph, you can take over from Charles.
Okay, that's thank you. Thank you for that. So over the years, and quite recently, regenerative agriculture has become such a hot topic in the agricultural space, especially in these current times that there are issues with climate change, and we're seeing the effects on what climate change is doing for us. So to break it down to a simple term, regenerative agriculture, from how I see it, is all about farming, or if you're into grazing, but it's solely based on regenerating the topsoil and allowing farmers to maintain crop yields, improve water retention, plant uptake. But the bottom line is increasing farm profitability, and especially with how the food production currently is leaning towards in terms of trends. There's a big importance on how people want to know food is being produced. So with this kind of situations, these are when regenerative agriculture comes into place, because it puts a lot more focus, not just on crop yield, but more on strengthening the health and the vitality of the farm soil. Because at the end of the day, you know, once you put in these activities into your planting, you know, it helps a lot in the long term. So it's a system that is being smiled upon now globally, and even with the issues with climate change that we are even experiencing here in Nigeria, you know, it's become important that these are the methods that should be adopted in the current day and time for farming practices right now. So that is just like a short idea on what we coined the term or believe in the term. Thank you.
Thank you so much for sharing your thoughts. I would have wanted to ask how well it's really been adopted here in Nigeria, but maybe we'll come to that briefly. Let me just hear from Rudolph. So over to you.
Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah, so and by the way, I agree with what Charles is saying, but you know, if you really look at the principles of it's actually regenerative agriculture is a philosophy, yeah. And that philosophy is actually translated in a set of agriculture practices. And the aim of regenerative agriculture is to reverse processes of natural resource depletion. Yeah. So what we're doing is we're depleting our earth. That's what is happening with a lot of the conventional practices. And what we need to do is we have to reverse that process and following the principles of circularity and biodiversity. Yeah, because regenerative agriculture really aims to ensure that there are healthy soils, that there is increased biodiversity, and we restore the balance of ecosystems while mitigating climate change. The outcome is mitigating climate change with doing this. And basically, what you try to do is, you, for example, you want to minimize mechanical operations and the use of inputs like fertilizer, too much fertilizer or too much pesticides or wrong pesticides that may cause the damage to soil organic matter and living organisms. And that is really the basics of regenerative agriculture.
Thank you for sharing your thoughts.
Yeah, maybe I can add a little bit to that, Sharon. And there are really six fundamental principles in regenerative agriculture. One is, as I said before, the balancing the soil nutrients. You always have to cover soil with weeds or decaying plant material to be able to have good biodiversity, minimize the intervention, as I said, so of the soil, really increase the biodiversity of all organisms, plants, animals, microorganisms, including like bacteria and so on, that would increase the performance. And then integration and proper management of animals like insects, birds on the farm, etc. And then really the outcome is to increase organic matter and immobilizing, let's say, carbon dioxide in the soil. And that's basically the principle of reducing climate impact. So increasing CO2, basically getting that in the soil and growing plants from CO2, the principles of life.
Thank you for that. Thank you for that. I know that the whole idea of us having this conversation, I mean, talking about regenerative agriculture is more about creating awareness and helping to guide farmers to, you know, transition to regenerative practices. And I believe that you have been doing amazingly well in terms of guiding our farmers through the process. So before I even get to my question, or let me just get to my question right away. So from a country level, how successful has that been? Now, the reason why I'm asking this is mainly because it is very difficult to, you know, get our farmers who have been, you know, very much focused or strong-headed on the traditional methods of farming right from the beginning, and all of these new solutions coming into the picture, and then trying to sway them to, you know, go into a better direction. They may not see it that way, but can you give me a few examples of farmers who have benefited from converting to regenerative practices? How successful has that been, really? Over to you, Rudolf.
Well, thank you very much for the question. You know, at the end, one of the philosophies that we have is that if you want to work and support climate change, the only way to do that is using farmers. The best way to do that is using farmers and help them implement these systems that are better for our Earth. And I would say there are three principles that are important. You know, it has to make sense for the planet. It has to make sense for the people, which is also social impact is very important. And then there has to be made profit. Why would anyone do it if you can't make money, if you can't support your life and well-being in your as a farmer, but also of your community? So one of the things that we are working on with different partners, and we're also working with Charles, is actually in Nigeria. But I give you an example that is published in Brazil, which is where we have indigenous farmers, and they are actually implementing regenerative practice in their country. Maintaining, first of all, the rainforest, which is very important. If you deplete the rainforest, we actually release more CO2 and actually have a more negative impact on climate change. So you have to incentivize the farmers to maintain the rainforest, maintain vegetation, and at the same time incentivize them to incorporate these new, better regenerative practices, which actually will help them to increase their yields, make better products, and increase the value of the product. So what we're doing there is supporting farmers, and we're going to do the same thing in Nigeria, supporting the farmers to using carbon incentives, so CO2 carbon credit incentives, to make the necessary investments to get in that movement. And that is already working in Brazil, and we have multiple projects underway where we incentivize the farmers to maintain the forest and at the same time incorporate regenerative practices so that they make better products, that they have higher yields, that they're more resistant against pests that actually can destroy or even microorganisms that can destroy the yields that they have on the farms.
Thank you for sharing. But Charles, as a partner working with them already about helping farmers to transition to regenerative practices, how effective has that been? Can you tell me your own experience working with farmers in Nigeria?
Okay, thank you. That was a good question. But in terms of working with food chain right now on regenerative agriculture, is actually something that is ongoing at the moment. Working in the middle of that now. But I can give an industry example of what's currently happening now and how some farmers that actually practice regenerative agriculture were not affected with the issue. So right now in Nigeria, in the ginger value chain, this particular season, when I say this season, that's the 2023 to 2024 season, because it takes 10 months, for a full, 10 to 12 months for the full cycle of harvest. So the ginger that was planted last year was harvested earlier this year. And this particular year, there was a big problem with our ginger production. We had a bacteria and a fungal outbreak, which has wiped out over 80 to 85% of our output of ginger this season, which has made the price skyrocket by over 250%. But now what's interesting is that there are a couple of farmers, some of them which I know, quite commercial farms, or farmers that practiced organic farming in this particular scenario, and they were not affected. So this year, based on this issue that has happened, currently right now, the federal government of Nigeria has even put together a task force for this issue that happened to the ginger. And one of the things that is going to happen is that there's going to be model farms being set up this year to show farmers you better agro practices in order to help mitigate these kind of issues that might happen in the future. So it's a current problem that is actually going on now, and it's a very good example on how regenerative agriculture, if that was already massively in play, would have helped with this issue. So that's even one of the ways in which I even met food chain, because as a business, we previously used to be involved in the rice value chain for about 6-7 years or thereabouts. But recently, we've diversified into the spices value chain, in which we want to be exporting. But to be able to tap into the premium market, as I would call it, there's so many specifications that need to be done. And even in terms of production-wise, a lot of other countries have already gone far ahead of Nigeria in terms of practice. Just as Dr. Ruth said, in Brazil, we already have something ongoing already. But in Nigeria at the moment, we don't have this in mass yet. But going forward, these are one of the things that we're hoping things will change over time, because we're going to be one of the players to showcase the positive sides of this practice. Thank you.
Thank you for sharing that. I really, really hope that this is something that the government will really put their hands into and not just say it. Because trust me, we've heard so many initiatives that are...
I know. Agreed. I know. You're so right. Yeah.
So
this particular one, currently...
Yes, correct. Yes,
because currently Nigeria is about where we rank at number 3 in terms of ginger production worldwide. And even in terms of our non-oil export receipts presently for agriculture in particular, ginger is one of the top 5 crops that brings Nigeria foreign revenue. Mm-hmm. So with this issue that has happened, it's a matter of if we don't convert and start adopting better agro practices, this can lead to the collapse of this certain value chain as an export product in Nigeria. So just to reiterate what you said, I really hope they will do what they're supposed to do. But to be on our own end, this is what we're going to be practicing on the private sector side, to show the possibilities of, yes, you can also practice regenerative agriculture and also be profitable, just as Dr. Reed has mentioned.
Well, I really commend this partnership. Because we don't really have to leave everything to the government, because we all have a role to play. I'm just going to keep emphasizing that we have a role to play, because we are all stakeholders in the agriculture space. So it's really important that we come together to contribute one way or the other, even without the intervention of the government. So I really appreciate the partnership going on between your companies to see how to educate more farmers and help them to adopt some of those regenerative practices to to ensure that we increase productivity and a lot more. So just like I mentioned earlier, it is very difficult for farmers to, you know, adopt some initiatives, especially something that they are not used to. I mean, they're quite, I wouldn't want to use the word slow, but it's very difficult for them because they believe in that traditional way of doing agriculture is still better. They believe that it is still better. So how do you convince a Nigerian farmer about the benefits of regenerative agriculture? This is more like asking you to, you know, just lay out the benefits of regenerative agriculture so people can really understand and see the best ways that they can tap into it. So this is just me asking you, what are the benefits of regenerative agriculture, Charles?
Okay, thank you. I mean, I will use certain examples to give my answer. But I mean, one of the main improvements in terms of your production process being improved tremendously. I mean, in terms of your soil quality, the main thing here is your soil quality having positive impacts, and that happening increases your yield as a farmer, because you're assuming the person here is a farmer, and with any farmer, the main benefit you want is to have good yield, which ensures good profit. So on some crops, even on domestically, it will help you access certain level of off-takers. Now, I can be specific. Let me use Nestle as a company. I mean, they're one of the biggest food manufacturers in Nigeria. One of the things they look out for, even in identifying or picking suppliers, in this case, that's farmers for products, is your practices. What kind of agronomic practices do you employ in your production? I mean, they have a pact to source products that are sustainably produced. So you, as a farmer practicing regenerative agriculture, it gives you added benefits to access to these kind of premium markets, of course, which you pay a lot more than what an average buyer would pay for gas domestically. Then on the export side, one of the issues we have here in Nigeria, I mean, which is known, is reject of our products in the EU markets or the North American markets, which are the most premium market, and is essentially because we don't produce to meet the specification in terms of mycotoxin level, aflatoxin level, minimum residue level. You know, we don't. Now, a lot of all these practices, like organic for the organic BD for North America or BD for European markets, once you're certified, I mean, certification means that, yes, you've done everything you're supposed to do and you're producing sustainably in this manner. The price of your product, it will command a premium. So, yet again, as a farmer, you're getting better value and more profit for your products, as well as still adhering to practices that is helping with climate change. Then there are even other benefits. I mean, presently, myself and Dr. Rudolph are working on, so I'll leave you more to speak on carbon credits and how that aspect also comes into play. So yeah, so I'll say these are some of the benefits that a Nigerian farmer practicing regenerative agriculture can benefit from.
Thank you, Todd. I think that's really a good example to really help them really understand why they need to practice regenerative agriculture. You know, so many people might just do their own practice and just feel like it's fine and there is really nothing that is going to happen. But when you decide to then go into a big market and then you start seeing all of these, you start seeing them doing due diligence and seeing that, okay, you actually use the
and even asking for exactly, even asking for more requirements like certification. I mean, right now, I'm sure Dr. Rood will speak more on this, but I mean, over the next years, it should become not even more of premium, but more mandatory to have certain certifications before you can export to certain markets. It's just the way the food system is just changing. You know, there's consumers, I mean, be it on the retail end, on the industrial end, you know, they're interested in more sustainable production methods. It's what's happening now across board.
I think that's really important, and it's really going to keep a whole lot of farmers on their toes, and I really hope that they are ready for that. I really hope we are ready for that. and people are not being stuck. Well, that's the reason why we're having this conversation and creating awareness around this so people can start adopting, because that is where we are headed at this point. So it's just like of the farmers that are not adopting blockchain technology, and then people are complaining about their jobs being taken from them. And you have to keep up with the trend, you have to follow the trend to, you know, stay relevant. And it still applies to this. If you're not keeping up with sustainable agricultural practices, it's just going to you're just going to be left behind. So I'm really glad that this is coming up and we are putting it out there for people to know and see ways they can start tapping into this for the future, because we are looking out for a sustainable future. So maybe Dr. Rudy can just, you know, tell us a bit more on how Foodchain ID is supporting the industry and regenerative practices, regenerative agriculture.
Yeah, thank you very much for giving me the opportunity. I very much liked what Charles was saying. One of the things that that I was really stunned to hear is that close to 40%, actually 40 million farmers, small all the farms in Nigeria produce like 90% of your food. Yeah, so there's a lot of smaller farms in Nigeria. And if I look at that and how actually all of the world works, you know, you need to enable those farmers. That it comes down to. And enabling has two aspects. One is obviously, and that's where we're working with Charles, for example, is that the farmers need to be educated how to produce better, more regenerative crop. So, but then someone needs to show that that actually happens, and we as a company are the verifier. Yeah, so Foodchain ID is the verifier, and if people know our company, you know, we certify more than 100,000 farms around the world against organic or non-GMO or other practices that are sustainable, more sustainable than other types of farming. And that kind of certification actually adds value to a product. And adding value to the product means that, first of all, the customer demands it. But secondarily, as a farmer, you can also get more value for your product, meaning it increases your income. And so certification is actually providing evidence to the buyer, for the farmer, that the product has a higher value add. And that's really what we are involved with. And the other thing that we're involved with is verifying the sustainable practices, allowing the issuance of carbon credits. And we're working that with partners. One of the partners that is very active together with us is a Reseed. They also have an agreement with the Center for Renewable Energy and Action on Climate Change in Nigeria. And that is a program that allows to fund the conversion of farmers to more regenerative practices, enabling the issuance of carbon credits, which ultimately increases the income of the farmer. And I can tell you, we have already have evidence in these projects in Brazil, and I think it should be the same in Nigeria, that we have seen income generation of more income of 40 to 60% of the farmer doing this. So just imagine that every farmer that signs up has the outcome that they can generate more income. That is a massive impact. And then on top of that, having a product that is more regenerative, that is better for Earth, you know, has potential positive impact on climate change. And the buyers value that. That is really for the farmer the outcome that they design. That's how we are supporting as a company, as the verifier of practices, to verify, the validator, the supporter of these initiatives, working with local people and advocates like Charles. I hope that helps you.
Yes, that actually helps. But I'm just wondering, getting access to these certifications, does it come with its cost? Is it something that is affordable for farmers, or do they have to go through a different organization entirely to get that? I'm just trying to get familiar with it.
That's a good question. And of course, there is cost associated with certifications. But if we do the programs as an integrated program where carbon credits will be generated from verification, those credits will go back to the farmer and pay for all of the cost and more. Yeah. So in principle, if you engage in these programs that we're working on with CREAC and Charles and local stakeholders, making sure that the farmers convert, that the verification in the field, the verification of data, of practices, will generate just solely income from carbon credits. And these carbon credits are sufficient to, one, supplement the income of the farmer, and two, pay for all of the certification and the consulting and education in the field.
Okay, so what if the farmer doesn't go through your own program, but still wants to, you know, get access to the whole certification and the rest?
That isn't... So the key is actually, obviously, we need to work with local stakeholders, because we need to have people that speak the language, that understand the culture, that understand the farmers in country. So we need to work with the local advocates like Charles and have the basically the push and the funding, the initial funding from the Center for Renewable Energy and Action on Climate Change. By the way, offsetting also the footprint of the whole country of Nigeria, which has obviously a negative carbon footprint, but they could be carbon positive if they implement in farmers. That the key is actually is that we engage with those local stakeholders that engage then with the farmers in country and sign up for these programs as fast as possible, and for us then to help to achieve the outcomes that we all need as a people on the earth.
Thank you so much for sharing that. I just like to be on the farmer side a lot more so I can know to support them. I'm really happy to know that there's a program for this, and this is something that they can register and benefit from. So thank you so much for the work that you are doing. I'm looking forward to seeing this happening in real time, kicking off fully here in Nigeria, because I believe that this is something that will benefit a whole lot of farmers. Earlier today, I was going through a tweet, and I came across a post that the tweet was talking about how Nigeria is not ready for the whole climate change thing, and then they're talking about carbon credits. And I was like, okay, so this is a topic I'm discussing today on the podcast. So I really want to hear the views from Emily and in the next few hours, actually, which is actually funny. A whole lot of people here in Nigeria are not so pleased with the whole climate change, the focus on climate change or carbon credits. But I really hope that our farmers can really see the benefits and move over to more sustainable agriculture practices. I really hope so. I really, really, really do. So, but I'm right here open to amplify the message of regenerative agriculture practices and help farmers to, you know, get involved and see the best ways that they can increase their revenue. Because just like Charles mentioned, we have about 90% farmers that are smallholder farmers producing food, and they need to be equipped, they need to be empowered, they need to increase their income. And I believe that this is the best way for them to get started. So I'm really excited about this initiative, and I'm really, really looking forward to it myself. Thank you so much.
Thank you for creating awareness, Sharon. I really enjoyed talking today, and I really look forward to working closely further with Charles on helping you in country and all the farmers, the almost 40 million farmers that you have in country, which is a massive amount, obviously. And to make sure that there is not just regenerative farming, but there is also continuing to be safe and better food for everyone, better nutritious food, and maintaining maintaining our earth, which is important for my kids and for their kids later on. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Sean.
Thank you so much.
Yes,
it's a pleasure to have you here. And we've come to the end of today's episode. Once again, this episode is sponsored by FoodGen ID, your trusted provider, of tailored technology, insights, and expertise. So do well to visit FoodGenID.com to learn more on how to get started with the programs here in Nigeria, in Brazil, across Africa, and other countries as well. I believe they're also present in various countries that you can benefit as well. So thank you so much for joining this show. Do well to subscribe. Do well to follow us on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn. And subscribe on your favorite listening platforms. We're on Apple, we're on Spotify, we're on Google, we're on Amazon, and so much more. So do well to subscribe, because we have more interesting topics, episodes coming your way. Once again, my name is Sharon Idahosa, and I am your host. Do have a lovely time. Cheers.